appreciate that good singing.
Amen.
And appreciate Tim and Peter singing too. That's a blessing. So thankful for that. It's okay, Timothy. You'll get over that. Had a good morning in the house of the Lord. I hope you all had a good morning over at the Black Creek Baptist Church. We had a good morning here. We thank the Lord. We kind of connect where we left off. For those of you that missed this morning, it's just stuff that I talk about every once in a while. You probably have heard me say it 10 times, so that's all right. But let's start in Acts chapter 2. And just see what the Lord will let us do tonight. We're talking this morning primarily of seeing Christ in the Psalms, and went through several places, and we talked about the soul of Jesus Christ. We talked about the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. We talked about the tears of Jesus Christ and the sorrow that he carried for us. And in Acts chapter 2, we had talked about this briefly this morning, but I'll talk again and just touch on part of this. And I want to go over this to get to a particular place. But the idea of what we're talking about in Acts 2 today is this thing where Israel has sang these psalms. They have quoted these psalms. They have been put in them, if you will, from the time they were a child. Holy scriptures and make them wise unto salvation. And yet they lack the understanding to put them in their proper place. They speak of Christ, yet when Christ came, they rejected him. When Christ revealed himself to them, they rejected him. And they would not acknowledge that he was the Christ. And so Peter, having his understanding open in the book of Luke, we see in many of them understanding open, Peter has seen the things of Christ in the scriptures, now expounding them to others. And so in verse 22 of Acts 2, and we'll read a good bit of this and just touch on a few things because we did talk about this morning. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. And so he's preaching to them Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. He tells them, this is who we're speaking of. Makes it very clear. This is the person that we are speaking of here. He's a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. So again, it's indisputable. They saw Jesus Christ. They saw the work of Jesus Christ. And it's indisputable that this was Christ. It's indisputable that these, at this point, it's indisputable these miracles were done of God by him. They saw the miracles. They know he raised people from the dead. They know that he healed the sick. They know that he touched many. And so, again, they need to understand this is Christ. And then he says, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken him by wicked hands, have crucified and slain. And I want you to just notice this here. He begins to speak in this, ye, you, ye, ye, you, ye. He begins to tell them, this was you. This is your part in what was done to Christ. And he's preaching Jesus Christ to them. And he begins here again now to speak of things of old, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Again, is that a miracle they believed at this point? No, they did not believe that was a miracle of God. Right. Again, this has been explained away. They've stolen the body of Jesus Christ. It's commonly reported they've stolen his body. They don't have faith to believe. They're looking at this through the eyes of a Jew and looking through this through the eyes of doubt. And yet Peter's preaching the message to them. And he said, for David speaketh concerning him, Christ. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer the unholy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. And so again, he's quoting scripture. He's preaching psalm to them. He is telling them things they've heard, things they've memorized, things they've sang. He's reiterating this to them. And then he begins what I call the preaching part of the message. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David. We spake of this morning. Clearly, He's saying David cannot be the person of this psalm. For David, he tells us, is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. So he's saying very clearly, this psalm that you think is David is speaking of one that is to come. This is David the prophet. This is David prophesying. He's speaking of that which is to be. Therefore, being a prophet, who's that? David. He clarifies with him. He wasn't just a king. He was a prophet. Samuel was a priest and a prophet. David was a king and a prophet. They were not all in one, prophet, priest, and king. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to his flesh, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. So Peter makes it very clear. David is speaking of Christ. David was prophesying of Christ. David was speaking of one which is to come. This Christ is the man that we saw approved of God, do miracles of God. We witnessed his miracles. We've seen him work these miracles. This is who David was speaking about. His soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up. And again, he tells us whereof we all are witnesses. You've seen him. You've looked upon him. Your hands have handled the word of life. That's who we're speaking of. That's who we're preaching. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Psalm 110, verse 1. Again, a psalm they well know. A psalm they have understood. A psalm they have sang since they were children. And he's reiterating the scripture to them and saying, this is Christ. We didn't know this was Christ when we were children. We didn't know this was Christ when we sang these songs. We did not know this was Jesus Christ. But now my understanding's been opened. I'm preaching to you what I have seen, what I've heard, what I've experienced. I'm speaking to you of this great Christ. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. So Peter has preached the message. Peter has told them that this is Christ. He has revealed Christ to them. And verse 37 is our text. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Collectively and then singularly. They were pricked individually in their heart. God has pricked them concerning this man, Jesus Christ, whom ye slew. Ye are the ones that put him on the tree. Ye are the ones that slew him according to the predetermined counsel of foreknowledge of God, but you slew him. And they were pricked in the heart. God cut them. God pricked them. God jabbed them. And this is what the Bible says. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? I've said numerous times in the last several years, especially, there was a time in church that people knew what that pricking was. There was a time they knew what that hush was, Anchor Baptist Church. They knew when children were silent. They knew when God was moving, children would silent and children would settle and people would come awake and people would be stirred and there would be tears and there would be joy and there would be agony in some. They knew it was God. What must we do? Today you have to tell people. That's right. That's God. Mm-hmm. A man said in the services in Blaine, said to another man, and it was told me, so this is secondhand knowledge, I guess, but a reliable source said that a man said to him, "I've never felt anything like that before." He said, "I had to get out of the building. I've never felt anything like that before." And then he said this, "I've never heard anything like that before." Now, where's the correlation there? He heard something that pricked him in the heart. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Yes, the word of God, yes, is what pricked him in the heart. And I've said oftentimes, listen, there's things you may have never heard. There's things you may have, now, whether it's right or wrong, there's things you've never. I've been in church now for 23 and a half years, pretty faithful. And I've been in church probably more than most people because we're in church a lot. And there's still times I hear stuff that I have never heard.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes it's in the scripture. Sometimes it's in Kookieville. My role is to respond to what I hear, but you can rest assured this. When it's something we've never heard, and it's something out of the scripture, and it's something as the preacher stands and preaches a message from God, when it pricks in the heart, you can rest assured this, that's the work of God in your heart.
Yes, sir.
They were pricked in the heart. And they said, "What shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now, I know where we are in the book of Acts. I hope you know where we are in the book of Acts. "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." So now we have a multitude has listened to Peter. They have heard the message. They've been pricked in the heart. "Then they that were gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." And sorry, easy believism, they continued steadfastly,
amen,
in the apostles' doctrine.
Yes, sir.
There were added to them 3,000 souls. My question is this, how many heard? How many said, "What must we do?" How many of them were pricked in the heart? We go to Acts 7, and we're going to go see the great deacon. I heard a preacher say one time, "Are there any deacons in here?" Okay, good. We can tell a deacon joke. Heard a preacher say one time, he said, "I love the story of Stephen." He said, "Because every deacon I've ever had is just as right in his own mind as Stephen." And he said, "There's some I've wanted to stone. But anyway, I'll just leave that alone." Just tell you what he said. Stephen preaches again the message God has given him. And I don't even know where to jump in on this on Stephen, but let me just start in verse 37 for the sake of time. Ricky has told me early he's about sick of this place. He wants to leave, so I'm going to try to get out of here as quick as we can. Oh, not that one. I'm saying his dad. Sorry, I was getting confused. This is that Moses in verse 37. And again, he's identifying who's speaking, who's talking, who's preaching, who's testifying, whose law is it, whose prophecy is it, which said unto the children of Israel, "A prophet shall see the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness." Again, something they can understand, something they can correlate to, something they've learned their whole lives. And he's trying to tell them, this is he that was in the church in the wilderness. This is somebody you ought to have known from the scriptures, but yet you don't know him. spake to him in the Mount Sinai and with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us up, or brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days. And by the way, Stephen's not lying. Stephen's telling exactly what they ought to know. Stephen is preaching exactly what they ought to hear. Stephen is telling them exactly what has taken place. And he's just reiterating that. But see, he started off with, this is he that was in the church in the wilderness. He's established a doctrine. Then he tells them the history, the things they ought to know. And he goes on and tells them, then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets. O ye house of Israel, have you offered me to slain beasts and sacrifice for the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, you took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god Remphan, figures which you made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. And then Stephen tells him, our fathers had their tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought it with Jesus. Uh-oh. You see, Stephen's crossed a line here with them. All of a sudden now he's identifying Jesus Christ with the church in the wilderness. Now he's telling them, this is Christ. For he said, our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the son of Jacob. But Solomon built him an house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Again, he's speaking of God. He's speaking of the scriptures. He's speaking of prophecy. He's speaking things they ought to know. What's the problem? They don't see Jesus Christ, who's made a little lower than the angels. That man they slew, they don't see that as Christ. That man that was buried and after 3 days rose from the grave, raised that temple up again. They didn't see that as Christ. He's trying to get them to see Christ. He's trying to get them to see in their scriptures, this is Christ. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, saith the prophet, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord, and what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Good, sound, safe, practical preaching. He's given them a history lesson, and he's thrown Jesus Christ in there twice. Wonderful. And today, that's where the preacher stops.
That's right.
Let's dismiss in prayer. Let's go home. No, Stephen says, you stiff-necked,
yes,
and uncircumcised in heart and ears. What's your problem? Uncircumcised in heart and ears. You will not hear what God is saying to you. What are those pricks?
The prick in the heart. It's evident that God was able to circumcise the heart of 3,000.
They responded to the pricks. But he says, now you're stiff-necked. You're hard. You won't move. You do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. What is that pricking? It's the work of the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. Through the scriptures.
Amen. Yes, sir.
He's prodding, jabbing, stabbing. Pricking them in the heart. What is a prick?
It's a thorn. It's a needle. It's just a quick prick. Here's the problem. You can shake it off.
Yes, sir.
Can I say this? If you couldn't shake it off, it wouldn't be your will. What if God just filleted you open, circumcised your heart against your will? That would be sovereignty, as I understand it, would be kind of in a different area.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
What does God do? He pricks you in a hopes of response to that prick. And he tells him, you do resist the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost trying to get a hold of you. That's the Holy Ghost trying to show you. But you resist that. You fight that. One of the agonies of being a parent, and it is, you take that newborn and the doctor has, you know, vials and bottles and Lord only knows what else, and you go in there and they got to stab that little baby. But what is it? It's just a prick. 30 seconds later, they're fine. Get home, take the Band-Aids off, they're fine. What is a prick like that to me? I'm old now. It doesn't bother me. I could sit and take a needle and stick it in my arm. It wouldn't faze me.
That's right.
It's just a prick. You shake it off. But this is the prick of the Holy Ghost. They've hardened themselves to it. The Scripture has been revealed. God's trying to show them, this is me. They just shake it off. He said, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? You put your fathers on pedestals. You put your lineage on a pedestal. You put your bloodline on a pedestal of what it is. Oh, we are of Jacob. We are of Benjamin. Which of your fathers persecuted not the prophets? Name one. Name one of your fathers that didn't persecute the prophets. Name one of them that obeyed God. They'd have to go back a long way at this point to find one of their fathers who didn't persecute the prophets. They had to go back a long way. You see, you read of men like Caleb, men like Joshua, but you realize the rest were overthrown. They wouldn't heed the pricks. They wouldn't see Christ in the wilderness. They wouldn't see Christ in the tabernacle. He said, you're just like your fathers. I've shown you the Scriptures. I've revealed Christ to you. I've shown you everything you need. You grew up from as a child with this Holy Scriptures. They're able to make you wise unto salvation, but you won't believe them. So the Lord in his mercy comes and pricks them again. He said, and now they have slain them, which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have now been the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. So when the just one came, you slew him. You murdered him. You received the law by the disposition of angels and you have not kept it. What more could God have done for Israel? What more could he have done for the Jew? What more could he have done for his people? But they would not. And so he points the finger at him and just tells them, this is you. You've resisted God. You've resisted the Word of God. You've resisted the Holy Ghost. You've rejected the Son of God. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. It's a wound. Not a prick, but a wounded. And to cut him to the heart. God was trying to show them their heart. God was trying to show them what was in their heart. God was trying to show them where they stood with him. So how did they respond to it? They gnashed on him with their teeth. God's dealing with them. God's shown them the law. God's revealed himself through the Scriptures to them, revealed his Son to them, and what do? They gnash on the messenger. Why do they gnash on the messenger? Because they can't get to God. You see, they've already smote him.
Amen.
They've already struck him. They've already ripped his hair from off of his face. They've already beaten him sore and put that robe upon him and mocked him and scoffed at him. The Bible said, even in the house of the high priest, the servants there would come and strike him, smote him with their hands. Even the very servants struck him. You see, when they could get to God, they beat him. When they could get to God, they crucified him. And now his messenger's trying to show mercy and give them one more chance to repent. What do? They gnash upon him with their teeth. Because they're cut to the heart. But he being full, thank God for the messenger that's full of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He didn't waver, he didn't move, he looked steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. The psalmist said, the Lord standeth in judgment. Stephen's about to meet the Lord. God opened up the heavens and gave him a glimpse. Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was consenting unto his death. He's listening. He hears the message. They laid the clothes at his feet. By doing so, he consented unto his death. You see, Saul's heard the message. We talked this morning just briefly of him. He is trained. He's under a great Bible teacher. He's trained under the law. He's trained as a Pharisee. You know from reading the epistles, the Apostle Paul knew far more of the scriptures, I think, than we have the ability to know as a lost man. Yet he couldn't see Christ. And if you're lost, you can't see Christ. Oh, you can see tenets of it. You can see pieces in a puzzle put together. You can see a correlation, but you can't see him. You can see a shadow. You can see a figure. You can see a likeness, but you can't see him. Saul has seen all these things. He's heard the preaching. He's heard the message. And what does he do? He consented to their death. This is a good thing that he died. Can I say this? And I'm trying to paraphrase, phrase or go too far, but he's saying this is good. This man needed to die. This is the right thing. Stone him. Before his heresy destroys us all, stone that man. What did Stephen do? He preached Jesus Christ. At that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which is at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. He'd go into house, he'd find men and women, preaching the gospel, meeting with a portion of scripture, and he'd commit them to prison. Chapter 9 and verse 1, and Saul yet breathing the threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. He's so spiritual. I'll say that mockingly. He was just so spiritual. He did what he thought was right. He did what he was taught to do. He did what in his own eyes was right to do. This man is preaching that that guy that died on the cross was God. That man that died on the cross was our Lord. That man that died on the cross was our Savior. He deserved to die. So he goes to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, what way? This way. They believe Christ. They preach Christ. They believe the scripture. And if we find any of this way, He said, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. So he wants to take them from Damascus, where the gospel has gone abroad, being preached. He's going to follow the gospel being preached and bind those preaching the gospel. He wants to silence them from preaching the gospel. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? You see, he is both Lord and Christ. Who art thou, Lord?
Forgive me for thinking something too far out, but I think with the light shone from heaven, that voice, the word of God, came to him again. It had to cut him. It had to prick him. Who art thou, Lord?
Listen, I've been hearing the preaching. I've been hearing what's going on. I know what's been said. Who art thou, Lord? The Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks.
What pricks? Pricks of the Holy Ghost. Pricks of the Word of God. The pricks of his heart.
Why? The heart is deep. The heart is deceitful. The heart is a dreadful thing. The heart is desperately wicked. That's what's in your heart, Paul. You're persecuting me, Paul. Saul. You've gone against me, Saul. You're fighting against me, Saul. Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for me to kick against the pricks. It is cut to the heart. Can you imagine the realization? It will come to you when you've been persecuting the church of God. And God opens your understanding to realize that this is the true and living church. And the awfulness and the horror and the shock of realizing this is Christ. When Stephen looked steadfastly into heaven and saw Jesus stand on the right hand of God, I should have taken heed. Stephen saw him. When Stephen preached Jesus Christ and that in the wilderness, I should have seen that this was Christ. When Peter stood that great day of preaching and he preached that that was Jesus Christ, not David in the grave, not David's soul in hell, but that was Christ in the grave and Christ in hell, and he's been resurrected from the dead. The awfulness of the realization. I've been putting people in prison over this. I've been kicking against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What shall we do? Collectively.
Lord, what shalt thou have? Wilt thou have me to do is singular.
He's not kicking against the pricks. He's been pricked. But he's bowed the knee and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. He's kicked against the pricks. But God stopped him one more time. Pricked his heart. There was nobody there to tell him.
This is God. Why? Because when God pricks the heart,
yes, sir.
He'll make himself known.
God pricks you deep. He'll make you know it's you. It's him. This is me. No, I'm just confused. No, I'm just having a dream, just having a vision, ate too much pizza, whatever they get. No, this is me.
It's hard for thee, isn't it? It's hard for you to kick against this, isn't it? Keep kicking. I'll keep pricking.
I want to say this, and be careful with this. I'm not going to go too far. I'm not making a doctrinal statement, but he went from a prick to a cut. Why they would not heed.
Right.
Saul, those pricks are me. And you've been kicking against it. Lord. 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 Lord.
I find at least three times in the scripture God calls a man by name explicitly in this fashion. Moses, Moses, the bush that burns, not consumed.
He calls him by name, Moses, Moses. What did Moses do? He took his shoes off his feet. He was on holy ground. Samuel, Samuel. Samuel ran to Eli to find out who it was, and finally Eli discerned it was the Lord, and he told Samuel how to respond,
why God had called him. What did Peter tell them? As many as God calls. Amen. Who's God calling? Saul. Mm-hmm. How does he call me? By name. How does he get his attention? Pricks him.
Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?
It's almost like the awakening. I don't see it any other way. Who art thou? Lord. His eyes are open.
He's heard with his ear. He hears a voice. He knows the prick was God. He knows the voice is God. What's left to do? Repent.
He's done. He's finished. The battle's over. I'm not going to war anymore with God. I don't like the pricks. I don't want to fight against the pricks. The little white flag of his heart waves.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Say, this is the last time. I'm done. I'm finished. The simplicity of the call of God. What wilt thou have me to do? Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Takes him into the city, and God shows him, speaks to him, sends Ananias to Saul. He explains to him the vision of what he has done, and God calls him this. He is a chosen vessel unto me. He is a chosen vessel unto me. Why? Jesus loved him. Cared for his soul.
Pricked him in the heart. Cared enough to prick him one more time. And finally he said, Lord.
What more is needed? Someone explain to you again what the prick is. Mm-hmm. Someone explain to you why you're being pricked.
That's right.
Somebody convince you that the law of God is real.
That's right.
No. What's needed? What wilt thou have me do? What must we do? What should I do? Peter.
Repent. First word out of his mouth. Repent.
What more do I need? What more do I need to respond to? Nothing. It's just when that prick comes.
Yes, sir.
Say, who art thou, Lord? Mm-hmm. What wilt thou have me to do? That's all I have tonight. For the grace to give you the service.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Good.